Welcome back to Luke. Tonight we're in chapter 16. Jesus told his disciples, "There was a rich man whose manager was accused of wasting his possessions. So he called him in and asked him, 'What is this I hear about you? Give an account of your management, because you cannot be a manager any longer.' The manager said to himself, 'What shall I do now? My master has taken away my job. I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I know what I'll do so that when I lose my job here, people will welcome me into their houses.' So he called in each one of his master's debtors. He asked the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' 900 gallons of olive oil, he replied. The manager told him, 'Take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 450. Then he asked the second, "And how much do you owe?" 1,000 bushels of wheat, he replied. He told him, "Take your bill and make it 800. The master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than they are with people of the light. I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves, so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much, and whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's properties, who will give you your property of your own? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will both be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." The Pharisees, who love money, heard all this and were sneering at Jesus. He said to them, "You are the ones who justify yourselves in the eyes of others, but God knows your hearts. What people value highly is detestable in God's sight. The law and the prophets were proclaimed until John. Since that time, the good news of the kingdom of God is being preached, and everyone is forcing their way into it. It is easier for heaven and earth to disappear than for the least stroke of a pen to drop out of the law. Anyone who divorces his wife and marries another woman commits adultery. And the man who marries a divorced woman commits adultery. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried in Hades, where he was in torment. He looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, 'Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire.' But Abraham replied, 'Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, while Lazarus received bad things, but now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you a great chasm has been set in place, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us.' He answered, 'Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my family, for I have 5 brothers. Let him warn them, so that they will not also come to this place of torment.' Abraham replied, 'They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them.' 'No, Father Abraham,' he said, 'but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent.' He said to him, 'If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced even if someone rises from the dead.'" Lazarus and the rich man, what a story. See, this is a story that's all about contrasting two characters, the rich man and Lazarus. See, Jesus doesn't even bother to give the rich man a name in his story. Rather, he let him be a representative to all who lived in such a manner as he did. He makes it clear that this man is living a lavish lifestyle at the expense of others. This man lived lived his life and adorned everything that was finest, including the color purple, which only the wealthiest could afford in feasting daily. This guy literally had it made. In a contrasting point, there was Lazarus. The only thing that adorned him was sores, and all he had to eat were scraps that fell from the rich man's table. Jesus even adds this detail that showed how low this guy was, that dogs licked or snipped at his wounds. This detail is significant, as it would have made him very unclean, unable to worship properly. The only thing that Lazarus had, the rich man didn't, was a name. Jesus personalizes his concern for the poor man with a name. See, Jesus' story starts with these two men whose lives couldn't be more different. Even their death, there is a considerable contrast. The rich man is buried, undoubtedly anointed with oil, wrapped and carefully placed in a tomb. And Lazarus' body was tossed aside. A fair assumption is that it was thrown into the city dump. Jesus offers detail after detail to show just how different these guys' lives and deaths really were. Now dead, we get a glimpse of the rich man and Lazarus on the other side. It's just, it amazes me that if we really look at our lives, I think most of us maybe are not at expense of getting rich at the expense of others. But who all here has said that they are struggling, that they don't have enough, that they need more? But then they walk into their closet and they actually have to think about what they're going to wear for the day. Or if they're cold, all they got to do is adjust this little box that regulates a consistent temperature in the home. See, the whole world's not like this. We are living in luxury. I've heard in other podcasts that if a person owns a car, you're in the elite few. You're rich. And this time of year, going into Christmas, we buy gifts, we give gifts, we get gifts. But I challenge you all to give to someone that you would never have given to before.